There we go. Okay, well, good afternoon, everybody. Hi, this is Eric, and this is another edition of the Real Interfaith Dialogue here on Blog Talk Radio, the Global Patriot Radio Network, and also here on StreamYard to the two Facebook pages and YouTube, and we call it the Cross and the Crescent Discussion Group. Welcome, Shalom. Welcome to another happy Sunday afternoon in our little world, in our little corner of the world here today. Today's topic is kind of a tough topic for me to discuss, especially on the Sunday show, because the Sunday show is normally, and I try to reserve the Sunday show normally as an outreach or an educational type program, to where we either talk about biblical topics or Islamic topics and focus solely on that. But unfortunately, this week I've been kind of forced into a corner, so to speak, to get the information that I've come across this week out there. And it seems, and when I was evaluating whether or not to do this or not, I'm thinking, man, you sound like a narcissist, Capper. Why are you doing this? And the reason why I'm doing this is because if any of this, these threats that are being made against myself individually are ever actually followed through on, what I wanted to do is I wanted to kind of create a program to where I would be able to point people, and they would be able to say, okay, what exactly does this guy do? What exactly is this guy saying? For everybody that is in chat, what I want to do also is make this show about open questions and answers. So if you have any questions about the Quran, about the Bible, about the differences between Christianity and Islam, you can go ahead and post those in the chat. And as best that I can, I'm going to try to keep an eye between what I'm doing and what I'm saying here and what is going on in the chat. Okay, so what am I running my mouth about? What am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about something that appeared on Facebook, and this came up on Facebook. I think it was Wednesday. Now, if you all remember what happened last Tuesday, Tuesday's show was a show that I did about it was about another YouTube show. Consider This TV, that's hosted by the Imam Kenny Bomer out of Houston. And the topic of the show was whether or not this Houston Imam supported terrorism or not. And what we did was we analyzed his show, as one of his statements was at the, if you go to the show, it's the 40 Greatest Hadith, I think is the name of the show. And if you go to the 56 minute mark, I was in the chat room for about 5 minutes during the show until they muted me and kicked me out. But I kept asking him if he thought it was okay for the terrorist group Hamas to continually fire rockets indiscriminately into Israel. And he finally answered it. He finally answered it, and he said, yeah, his answer was yes. So if you consider that, consider this, if you're the host of your show says it's okay to fire rockets indiscriminately into another country for the sole purpose of killing civilians, and the civilians in this case are Jews, that's terrorism. The Hamas, I'm not going to say it. I heard this term, a Hamas hole, on a video during the week, and it laughed. The people of Hamas, the group Hamas, is a designated terrorist organization. Period. And if you're supporting what that designated terrorist organization is doing while they are committing terrorism, if you support that act of terrorism, shooting rockets indiscriminately into a country for the purpose of killing innocent civilians, then you're supporting terrorism. And if you tell people that you support that, they can clearly see what was said. And based on my analysis and the analysis that we went through on that show, that's what came about it. So the next day, here's what happens the next day. Why do I tell this story? The very next day, this is what pops up on my live feed. I get notified. Let me see here if I can bring this up here. Let me share my screen real quick. This appeared the next day on my Facebook page, or at least I was notified of it. And this was written by one of the people who was a participant on the Imam Show. He goes by the name of Charles Doyle is his name. And if you look at this post says that it's time to end the hate, kind of like what I titled this show, which is Stop the Hate. So this, and you'll see where we're going with this. He had a picture of me. This is a picture I took when I was in the Sea of Galilee, as a matter of fact. It's one of my favorite pictures that I post because it has the Sea of Galilee in it. It's just one of those – you ever get like one of those happy moments in life? Well, that was it. Anyway. He says that I work for the state rep school system, and I'm supervised by Noreen Bush. Now, I'm not super – she's the superintendent of schools, but I'm not necessarily supervised by her, but I'm not going to get down in the weeds on that one. He says that I'm on a mission to instill fear in Muslims. That is a lie. That is an absolute, objectively false statement, and we call that type of statement slander. Yes, we do. His rhetoric is dangerous and a threat to the safety of the Muslim community. Notice how he doesn't say how that is, and he provides no examples, but we'll leave it at that. It's time for Dr. Eric Smith to choose to be a responsible member of the Cedar Rapids school system or a hate preacher, meaning what he is doing here, what he's doing here is he is essentially saying that I can either be a teacher or I can be a host of this show. He's trying to make this decision for me. See what he's doing here? All right. He goes on to say, it gets a little bit better. I am going to make it my mission to ensure that the Muslim community, especially the children he teaches, are not affected by his hateful ideology. Now, let me just say this. I teach history, American history, and the only time that Islam ever comes up into class is when we start talking about the reasons for colonization, exploration, when we start talking about the sacking of Constantinople in 1453. And there was only really one time where Muhammad ever came up into class, and it was when we were discussing this and how the Bosphorus, when it was cut off, and it cut off that trade between the Mediterranean world and the Asian world. A student had asked me at one time if I was a Muslim or if I believed in Islam, and I told him the answer was no. And why not? And you keep getting these why questions as a teacher, and sometimes when these things keep coming at you, you have to be very careful on how you weigh that. But on this day, the topic came up of where I said, well, I don't think that Muhammad was a prophet. One of the students in the class said, oh, yeah, and he married a 9-year-old girl. And they all looked at me, and as a teacher, you're like, yes, he did. And the only thing I said, and he was 54. And as soon as I said that, I mean, the ick factor, I mean, it was just like the whole class was like, ugh. Now, if that's the type of protection that Charles is talking about, okay. Yeah, maybe I should not tell the truth about what Muhammad did in a class. If that's the type of protection from Dr. Smith, that you feel that the students should have, I'm thinking maybe you're afraid of the truth, and that's what we're going to be discussing today. And look what he says here. I posted the superintendent's phone number for those who wish to join me in uniting against hate. Now, there's a couple things that are seriously wrong with this post. Number one, the post was taken down. I believe it was taken down. I don't know. I just reported it because it was abject harassment. But when you start thinking about the issue of slander and trying to get people intentionally fired and lying about them, Where would he even come up with this idea? Well, we know where he came up with this idea because I was threatened the week before that by the imam out of Houston with, you know, for slandering him. He said, if you slander me or you say, I can't remember exactly what the email, I showed it on the Tuesday show, then, you know, I'm going to, my attorney, whoever it was, will, I'm going to sue you or so. I can't remember exactly. Extend to the email, but the this is where he's getting this idea and, from the imam and that other character, Marshall Gregory. All three of them, this is what they do. They never really provide any type of evidence. I mean, because if you look at this, it, you know, does it stay in here that he was a hate preacher? I don't think that that's what is in there, but that's basically what I've been called several times. It says, you're a hate preacher, you're a hater, you're a bigot, you're an Islamophobe. And an Islamophobe, of course, is anybody that disagrees with the imam. That's what an Islamophobe is. That's the only thing that I could come up with that, you know, can be applied, of course, consistently anyway. But there was some things that I wanted to make this show about. Because if you really want to say that somebody is a hate preacher or is spreading hate, what you have to do is you have to, number one, look at what that person believes. And I will tell you unequivocally, in front of everybody here, it's in this, I just want to make sure that everybody understands this, I am nothing more than a sinner that has been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am not a perfect man. I make mistakes. I say things sometimes that I shouldn't say. Everybody does. But I do not hate people. I do not hate Muslims. I most certainly do not hate Muslims. As a matter of fact, I spend a lot of my time speaking about their religion because what their religion teaches, based on what my religious beliefs are, leads them to hell. And here's why. In the Quran, if you go to the Quran, chapter 4, verse 157, it says that Jesus Christ was not crucified. As a Christian, if you just look at the book of Romans, for crying out loud, go to chapter 5 and chapter 5 in the book of Romans, and you will clearly see that the only thing that saves us from the sins that we commit against a holy and righteous God is what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That is the only thing that saves us. It's through our faith, faith alone in what Jesus did for us, that saves us. That's what I believe with every ounce of my being. And when I read a book that billions of people, over a billion people, believe is the absolute word of God, and in this book, chapter 4, 157, it says that the very one thing that saves you from an eternity separated from God is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and it denies that, I am going to say everything and anything that I, not anything, but everything I can that's factual against that book. I am going to demonstrate that that book is anachronistic. I'm going to show that that book is historically incorrect. I'm going to show that that book is theologically incoherent. I'm going to show that that book is scientifically laughable. And if that offends, well, I am sorry. But sometimes the truth can be, oftentimes, it is offensive. And I'm also going to speak out against the person who provided the basis for that book, Muhammad. And in the process of speaking out against what Muhammad did, because they believe that instead of being, as Christians believe, we should be Christ-like and follow the pattern of conduct that Christ lived, try to live as perfect a life as we possibly can, a sinless life as we possibly can, I'm going to show what Muhammad did because they are to follow the sunnah or the practices of Muhammad. And so in the process of showing the practices to Muhammad, what he did during the life, that turns out to be offensive also. So be it. Now, is being offensive hateful? Is showing somebody the truth hateful? No, it is not. I was diagnosed with cancer 2.5 years ago already, 2.5 years. And when the doctor tells you, he said, sir, you have cancer, and we need to do something about it. I told him, I said, quit being, you're just being a hater. Quit hating me. No, he was not. He was telling me the truth. I had cancer. Now, thank God it was skin cancer, and thank God it was the type of skin cancer that if you're going to, and here's what he basically said. He says, if you're going to get cancer, this is the type of cancer to get. The doctor looks at you and said, if you're going to have cancer, you know, this is the type of cancer, that, you know, you're going to be all right. And I was. And they went and they cut it out. And I've been back a couple times and it hasn't flared back up. So, you know, praise God for it. But it is not hateful to tell somebody the truth. It is not hateful to tell somebody, said, look, you have a sickness or you believe in something that is wrong, that is going to lead to your not only physical death in that case, but your spiritual death in another case. So it's not hateful at all. It is actually showing a concern for those people. So what I want to do here is I want to spend a little bit of time. I'm sitting there trying to keep up with chat here. I didn't see, did anybody see any questions in chat that DL, I was going to throw to DL. I was going to throw DL under the bus here and let him answer whatever questions that comes up. Let's see, Rob K, this appears, oh, here it is. This appears to be, let's see, this classic tactic of those who subscribe to the cancel culture. It's also a tactic of the U.S. front of the Muslim Brotherhood front known as the Council on Islamic Council on American Islamic Relations Care. Yes, it, yeah. And here's something that I told Connie that I was going to speak about this morning, because I've made some mistakes in doing this show. I've told you I've been doing this show for I think 4 years now. I think January is my, you just lose track of time. But anyway, I love doing this show and I've been doing it. I started off just doing it on Blog Talk Radio. And then when Zoom became a very popular platform, we started doing it on Zoom. And then after StreamYard became pop, we started doing it on StreamYard. Now we go to, now we're all over the place. And I was told at the beginning, my initial show producer told me, she says, you know, it's Eric, you don't ever want to give people too much information about yourself, because when you give people too much information about yourself, they can come back and they can use it against you, or at least try to use it against you. And so I would admit that I've made three big mistakes. Number one, I show my face. You notice that several people, when they come up on this platform, they don't show their face. And the reason why they don't show their faces, and as a matter of fact, we Kufarphobia. Why not Hops? Are you here today? XYZ is here. I see that Danny Davis. I don't see him here, but we were having a conversation yesterday on Skype, as a matter of fact, that he wanted to do a debate with a Muslim, and the Muslim wouldn't debate him if he didn't show his face. And there's a reason why. Some Christians choose not to show their faces, because that if they do show their face, now that face is out there in public and now they can be identified. And if somebody wants to harass them or threaten their job, that sounds familiar, now they have a face to that. Second thing is don't ever tell somebody where you are. Oops. I've done that also, and that makes you an easier target, because now that they can locate you. And then lastly, there was three things, and I can't pick three things, but two of the main violations is telling where you are and showing your face. And there are several people who do not show their face during these shows for this very reason, for what is happening. And it's in the process of happening to me. So those are two big mistakes that I've made in doing this show. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to show people today what true hate speech really looks like. Because when we think of hate speech itself, I was, of course, always out there trying to, you know, look for a definition of this or a definition of that. And I did run across a definition of what hate speech is. And here it is. Okay, you have to have several elements in order to define what hate speech is. Number one, it has to draw a distinction between one's own identity group and those outside of it. So if I draw a distinction between Christianity and Islam, then this may be a connection to hate speech. It's not, but it could be a connection. And I'm going to circle back on that too. Press secretary. I'm going to come back on that one. There has to be a moral comparison based on this distinction. And yes, okay, yeah, there is a moral comparison between being Christ-like and being following the Sunnah of Muhammad. So there is definitely a moral comparison then. And then there's a devaluation or dehumanization of other groups and personal superiority of one's own. I do not devalue and I do not dehumanize Muslims. So this would not qualify as hate speech under this definition. It just simply doesn't work. The advocating of different standards of treatment based on identity group membership. And I do not advocate different standards for different groups. I advocate a consistent standard. If a Christian, let's just put it this way, if a Christian did what these guys are threatening to do to me, to a Muslim who spoke out against Christianity, let's say they wanted to get together and they wanted to try to get let's just take this Charles character as an example, and let's say we find out he's employed by a school system, and based on what he's doing right now, would we want to try to get him fired from his job? And I would say no, we do not want to get him fired from his job because he's speaking out against Christianity and advocating Islam. I would never do that to somebody. However, when he does the same, he seems to think it's okay. But I would never advocate doing that. So that it failed that standard of hate speech, and also a call to violence against members of other groups. And I've never done that, never would do that. Have a call to any type of violence to any group. Could you moderate a debate if I take it? Gedalia, what is this question here? Danny Davis is asking here, could you moderate a debate if I take it with a Muslim? I am concerned that short on CTT. What is CTT? Oh, is that? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure. No problem. I'd moderate. I've moderated debates before. Okay. So Robert Kasia says, open up the Quran to chapter 9. Lots of hate there, and this is true, but I'm not going to start with that. Here's what I want to start with. Let me where did it go? Let's read chapter 98, verse 6. Chapter 98, verse 6. So when we start looking at what does the God that you worship, the God that you believe in, how does that God view other people groups distinct from the group that follows him? Here's what the Quran says. Verily, those who disbelieve in the religion of Islam, the Quran, and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, it doesn't say that in the Quran, by the way, from among the people of the scriptures, which are the Jews and the Christians, and al-Mushrikun, will abide in the fire of hell. They are the worst of creatures. So let's go ahead and evaluate that based on the criteria of hate speech. So when we go back and we look at the criteria of hate speech, does it draw a distinction between one's own identity and those outside of it, Muslims and the Mushrikun, how we pronounce it, the Jews and the Christians? Yes, it does. Does it make a moral comparison based on this distinction? Well, if you say that they're the worst of creatures, I think that you're saying that in moral comparison. Does it devaluate or dehumanize them based on their own personal superiority? Well, let's read the verse again. to check and see. Verily, those who disbelieve in the religion of Islam, the Quran, the Prophet Muhammad, from among the people of the Scripture, Jews and Christians, and al-Mushrikun will abide in the fire of hell. They are the worst of creatures. So what was the criteria again? I'm sorry, the criteria, devaluation or dehumanization. Yep. The advocating of different standards of treatment based on the identity group membership. Yep. A call to violence. Well, we're going to be in what did they say? They will abide in the fire of hell. So using the standard of hate speech, I would say, thank you, Gedalia. Let's post that up here. There's, I don't, if you can click on that, you can see exactly which verse I'm talking about. You can see that if there was somebody that was preaching hate, that does preach hate, that's hateful, I would say that that qualifies as hate speech. Is that the only one, though? Of course not. Let's go to another one. Let's go to Quran chapter 5. Verse 32. Now listen to this one. This is whenever you see, I remember very well that there was a shooting in, I think it was Florida, where that guy went into that gay nightclub and killed, it was, does anybody remember that? Anybody in the panel remember that? Where the guy goes in there into a gay nightclub and kills 30 people? Nobody remembers that. Does anybody remember that?
I vaguely remember a story like that happened like that, yeah.
Okay. So does anybody remember the number? Because the number 50 seems to be sticking in my head. It was just like – it was just an inordinate high number. And I believe it was in Florida someplace. New York City XYZ says San Bernardino. No, San Bernardino was where that guy went into the Christmas party and shot it up. But this was where a guy went into – he was a Muslim. He goes into this gay nightclub and just starts, boom, 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 shooting people left and right. And in the local newspaper, there was an imam, a local imam, and this is the verse that he cited, chapter 5, verse 32. And I'll tell you, he left out the first part of it. But this is where he begins, and it says that the Holy Quran says that if anyone killed a person not in retaliation or murder and to spread mischief in the land, it would be as if he killed all mankind, and if anyone saved a life, it would be as if he saved the life of all mankind. So this is the verse that he quotes, and then
Orlando, Florida.
Okay.
49 people.
There we go. Okay, I knew it was close to 50. All right, thanks, Connie. Yeah. Okay, so this is exactly what was quoted by the local imam, and it does sound very peaceful. It does sound very pleasant, but that wasn't, as always, it's war is deceit. He didn't quote the very first part of the verse, because it said the very first part of the verse, it says, because that we have ordained for the children of Israel that if anyone killed a person not in retaliation or murder or spread mischief in the land, it would be as if he killed all mankind. And if anyone saved a life, it would be as if he saved the life of all mankind. Okay. That would be fine if he would have quoted the whole thing, but he did not quote the whole thing. The problem is, and here's the problem. It's followed by verse 33. And here's what verse 33 says. And you tell me if this is hate speech. The recompense of those who wage war against Allah and his messenger and do mischief in the land. Nobody tells us what mischief in the land is. John Isaac, are you still here with us, John?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, can you tell us what mischief in the land means in 533?
It means... go tell others that Muhammad is not a prophet, he's a false prophet, Islam is not right, then this means waging war against Allah and his prophet.
Okay, so what you do, John, is create mischief in the land.
If you declare your faith, for example, ex-Muslim left Islam, and he said, I left Islam because 1, 2, 3, 4, this is... these verses apply to him.
Okay, so it's mischief in the land. So let's take a look and see what is prescribed for those people who commit mischief in the land. I was actually told by a certain imam in a going back and forth, is that I would be the exact type of person. I am the type of person as to why they do not allow any but Muslims in Mecca. I can't remember exactly how it went, but that was basically emphasis of it. But here's what it says: the recompense of those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger and do mischief in the land is only that they shall be killed. Now this is the God of the universe. This is Allah, or crucified. Or crucified, or their hands and feet to be cut off on opposite sides, or to be exiled from the land. Now, there's a lot of ors in there, but one of those ors, and it goes on to say that is their disgrace in this world, and a great torment is theirs in the hereafter. Okay, so we're going to be tormented in hell. Okay, that's fine. That's a theological statement, but this criteria here of being crucified. The God of the universe prescription of or punishment for somebody who wages mischief in the land. And this is a term, and John knows this just as well as I do. Anybody that comes from Islam knows that causing mischief in the land is a term that does not really have any strict or consistent definitions to it. So the fact is that when we start saying, well, you're a hate preacher. So by citing this verse here, is that – now you tell me what is a hate preacher. If you are going to be crucified, if you can be crucified as a form of punishment for creating mischief in the land, I would say that is very hateful in and of itself. Did any of you guys are kind of silent today? Does anybody have any type of comments that they want to chime in with? Issa always has something on his mind. Issa, got anything to say about any of this? Issa once, Issa twice, Issa three times. Issa is probably probably acting like one of my students when we were doing our Zoom classes this year, and they would go play what's that video game that's it doesn't matter. It's a very popular video. They always play these video games.
Yeah, I want to say something. You know, Islam claims that whatever Muhammad says, whatever he condones is the law. So if you come against marrying little girls, if you come against beheadings, you come against having your hands and feet chopped off, if you come against their own apostates being executed, then you are of corruption in the land. This is nothing but pure evil. You know, we stand up against Islam because we love the children. We're supposed to be protecting the little ones on this planet. We're supposed to be protecting people from not getting their hands and feet cut off or being executed or being crucified and whatnot. And many of these little girls die on their so-called wedding night because they're only 9 years old. And for us to say, you know, this is evil, but them to come back and say, you're talking of hate. No, we're speaking love for those children. We are supposed to hate evil. And God plainly tells us what evil is in the Bible. And He's written the law on our hearts, whether we like it or not. We know good from evil.
Well, it doesn't look like there's much of a distinction if it comes from the Quran, though, because if you can be called the worst of creatures. And, you know, I've had this discussion before with a group of guys that there used to be a group that I belonged to on Facebook where we would have Fortnite. Thank you, Danny, was the name of the game that they would come in, they would turn their cameras off, and they'd go play Fortnite. I think that's what Issa's doing right now. Anyway, what I was saying is that when you start looking at what
he's being our flower child, remember?
That's right. I forgot about that.
Uh-huh.
But when you start qualifying what what I was saying about that group. We were having a discussion, and I brought up, I said, okay, well, isn't it hateful to call people like me the worst of creatures? He goes, oh, well, you're taking it out of context. You have to go back through chapter 98, I think, is only like 8 verses long. It's not long at all. That's not the context. And I'm sitting there driving, the Kaffir car down the road, so I can't sit there and look this stuff up. So you don't have. So I got, when I got home, I looked, and that is the exact context. It's referring to Christians and Jews as the worst of creatures. And if you are considered by their most holy book, the Quran, as somebody that is the worst of creature, well, what can you do to them? How are you to view them? How are you to look at them? Well, you can go ahead and try to get them fired from their job, because what you consider to be hate speech against somebody like that – my screen just went blank over here. I'm sorry, guys. But what you consider to be hate speech is, in fact, the truth. And then here's what he's done. He's elevated his morality – and what his view of what is true and what is not above everybody else's. He's saying that I have the Quran, and what is in the Quran is indeed the exact word of God. You are not a Muslim, and if you speak out against what I believe to be the absolute truth, then that is hateful, and that is hate speech. And by you pointing out the problems, or what you perceive is what I perceive as being problems with the Quran, that's hateful and endangers Islamic children. And that's a lie, number one. But number two, it's basically giving him a moral high ground, or him assuming that he has the moral high ground on this. And when you actually start drilling down and looking in what is in that Quran, you don't have a moral high ground.
It's totally the opposite.
Exactly. It is.
They have no backing.
Right. It is the opposite.
They have no backing. Yeah. Everything they accuse everybody else for, a lot of it, the Islam condones and says it's okay.
Yeah, and one of the ways that they I've seen the imam do this is he goes, I don't mean to be offensive, I don't mean to offend, but then he turns around and says something really completely offensive. I don't mean to be offensive towards the Bible, but the Bible is one big lie. I don't mean to be offensive towards the Christians here, but they're just absolutely deceived. Okay, so I don't mean to be offensive towards Charles here, but Charles is absolutely lost and doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't mean to be offensive against the imam here, but I'm going to just kind of post a couple things that he has put out there on Facebook, and you'd make the determination of whether or not they are hateful or not. This was a post that he had made when Hatun Tosh – now, most of us here in chat know who – Sister Hatun is. Hatun has been in the news quite a bit lately, as a matter of fact, because she keeps getting arrested when she goes to Speaker's Corner. And she's arrested because all of the Muslims get upset of what she's saying. And it's called Speaker's Corner for a reason. Some people are starting to call it Sharia Corner simply because they don't allow any type of speech that is offensive to Muslims there to be said without getting shouted down or some type of commotion being made. But I think this happened last fall, where Hatun was slapped. Somebody come up and basically almost knocked her out and broke her glasses. Now listen to what he says here. This Christian woman and known antagonist of Muslims. So you're an antagonist of Muslims by going to Speaker's Corner and having discussions with people. If you say anything against anything about Muhammad, for an example, if you were to say that Muhammad was an adulterer, let's just say you said he was an adulterer because he had sex with Mary the Copt, who was one of his slave girls, and in the process he was doing this in his wife's bed, in the bed of his wife's Hassa, I think it doesn't matter. And this is considered what we would call adultery. If you would say that at Speaker's Corner, you would get, because what you're doing is you're criticizing Muhammad. And according to Islam, according to the Sharia, you cannot criticize Muhammad. So what they do at Sharia Corner, at Speaker's Corner, is they go there and they make a big scene and they make it look like Hatun is the one that's causing the commotion. Now, look what he says here. She is an antagonist of Muslims and Islam. Hatun Tash was slapped by a man at Speaker's Corner while brandishing a Quran with holes drilled into it. Now, the reason why she has a Quran with the holes drilled into it was based on the interview that Mimi Hijab had with Yasser Qadhi last June, I believe it was, where Yasser Qadhi said that the standard narrative of perfect preservation has holes in it. So she took a Quran, drilled some holes into it, and said, this is the standard narrative here. It was symbolic. But just like everything that these radicals, I would call them radicals, do, is they got very upset, and you had one guy come up and just slap her upside the head. Let's see here, who she referred to as, and she drew up, held up a picture of Charlie Hebdo, and if you remember what happened to Charlie Hebdo at the newspapers in Paris there for, well, let's see, the heck was it? It was, they had drawn some cartoons of Muhammad. I think 12 of them were killed. Two jihadis gone in there and said, hey, you cannot insult the Prophet Muhammad. You cannot draw cartoons of Muhammad. And if you do, that is a death penalty. So these guys acted as if they were the judge, jury, and executioner, and they went in and they killed 12 people. So what does Hatun do is she holds up a cartoon written or drawn by these people at this newspaper. See, here's what the problem is. It very well may be offensive, but this is Speaker's Corner, for crying out loud. This is, I mean, you cannot tell us, you can. A couple years ago, after that Charlie Hebdo massacre, they held a conference in Garland, Texas, in this let me write this down so I don't forget my spot here. Hold on, Hebdo, Hatun. Okay, because sometimes when I get off telling a story, I lose my train of thought. Okay, here's my train of thought. All right, so after the mass killings of those people at Charlie Hebdo, they had a conference. I think CARE, I'm willing to be wrong on this, but I think it was CARE who organized this conference in Garland, Texas, called Defend the Prophet conference or something along those lines. And it was a conference about how to stop the hate speech and Islamophobia, which is drawing a picture of Muhammad, evidently. Okay. Two guys from the network, the Global Patriot Network, went down there. They had passes to get in there, but since they had Jewish names, they didn't allow them into the conference. Well, word got back to people like Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer, so they decided to have their own little conference at that same conference center, the Garland Conference Center there in Garland, Texas, and they had a Draw Muhammad contest where they said, people, you can come in, you can draw the Prophet Muhammad, and we're going to have a contest. If you want to sit there and say that it's okay to kill people for drawing cartoons, you know what we're going to do? We're going to draw cartoons. And, oh, by the way, we're going to have a contest doing it. The only cure for free speech is more free speech. That was the whole point of the conference. So they had the conference, and during the conference, you had these two jihadis came from Phoenix, Arizona, and they tried to break into the conference, and luckily they were about as smart as the day is long, and they both got killed. But the fact is that any time that you would draw Muhammad, they lose their little minds over this. And they want to kill the people that did this. So when we go back to Hatun, John, did you have something to say? I saw you unmuted yourself.
Yeah, I have two things to say about this post of Kenny Boomer about Hatun Tash.
Okay, go ahead.
What happened that Hatun was hit by a Muslim because she had in her hand some cartoons for Muhammad, and she was asking, do you think these actions of Muhammad can be of best mankind example in the whole humanity? And this guy hit her. Anyway, the police came and catch the guy and shouted, I am Christian, which is the tahiyya, is not And Kenny Boomer said that in this post in the comments. He said that, look, they catch the guy. He is a Christian. Islam is, didn't do anything to Hatun Tash, which shows that they try to hide what happened. He's trying to hide what happened by doing taqiyya. It's no different between this guy who hit Hatun Tash and also Kenny Boomer. He will do the same if he met Hatun Tash. He will do the same and hit her. And he may say, I am Christian, also to hide the fact that he is Muslim. 2 days later, what happened is from Kenny Boomer. 2 days later, Critic the Channel on YouTube. He made a fundraiser, fundraising to get some funds for Hatun Tash to buy new glasses. New glasses doesn't matter. It's not a small amount, but it means a lot that you see a lot of people supporting Hatun Tash because she is doing a great job in speaker course. And she doesn't fear from Islam, from Muslims or extremists. Then the fundraiser has like a psychological meaning, not to care about the money. We found when this happened after 2 days, we found another post from Kenny Boomer say, look, Christians making fundraise for a glasses for this woman. While if you go to see how many fundraises that is in the whole of Kenny Boomer, Mick Wells, he made a fundraiser for Sadaqah Jariyah or for his son when he died. He made the fundraiser when his ex-wife's house was burned. He made a fundraiser like in Ramadan. Every day you can see like two or three fundraisers to get money for da'wah. What are you speaking about? It is a fundraiser that we made by Islam Critics, the channel on YouTube. It was just a psychological fundraiser. Look yourself, how many fundraisers that you make? And who is like reviewing this money? Is it going for the wealth, really? Or is it going to another way, another place? Okay, then this post showing hate speech. I see that hate speech from Kenny Boo against Christians or anyone exposing Islam. And also I see a lot of taqiyya or hypocrisy between what Kenny Boomer did and what we did to Hatun Tash.
If you look at what it says here, and this I mean, Hatun Tash is all but maybe 5'2". She's not a threat to anybody. And to condone anything like that is simply unconscionable. If somebody went up and slapped Ali Dawah on a Christian went up and slapped Ali Dawah at Speaker's Corner for running his mouth, I would say I'm not going to say he deserved, but you know how outspoken Ali Dawah or Mimi Hijab, somebody went up and did that to them. I wouldn't approve that because what you're doing is you're trying to keep somebody from speaking their mind. And by doing this, if you look at what this post says here, let Kenny post all he wants in there. It doesn't bother me a bit. What he does is he exposes what his true beliefs are. That's my opinion of that. But if you look at this, it says she should have turned the other cheek based on her constantly positioning herself as an enemy of Islam. So essentially what he's saying here is, well, she deserved it. She deserved to get her head slapped off, almost knocked out. All 5'2" of little Hatun, she essentially deserved it. And if she didn't deserve it, why are you mocking her for that? And there was another meme that was brought up that was sent to me. Let me see if I can find it. Here it is. This was also posted here recently by the Imam. Christians, if you can heal people, why not open up a Holy Ghost clinic similar to a doctor's office? And that just, to me, that's just that's just a display of abject ignorance of what the Holy Spirit or who the Holy Spirit is as part of the Trinity is said. Okay. Did anybody have anything else that they wanted to contribute to that? There was a couple more verses that I wanted to get to. Y'all, did you want to come up? Did you have anything that you wanted to say? Or Isa, Gunn, or Kenny, did you guys have anything else that you wanted to say before we got on? Or we kept going?
Yeah, let's keep going.
Okay. Sayed, you claim you were a Christian, but you personally attacked people. Yeah, I thought she deserved it. I'd say that. I never heard. What is this? What is that? If I thought she deserved it, I would have said that. No. Okay. So you just mocked her. Okay. I get it. No problem. Whatever. Okay. So let's go on. Let's look at the next verse that we came here to. Cron 356, as those who disbelieve, I will punish them with a severe torment in this world and the hereafter, and they will have no helpers. So if we look at what the five criteria of hate speech are, the advocating of different standards of treatment based on identity group membership. So according to chapter 3, verse 56, as to those who disbelieve, and disbelieve in what? Well, we disbelieve that Muhammad was a prophet. And anybody that's ever done this, and I put this debate challenge out there every time I can. If you believe that the Quran is the word of God, defend it. I can objectively demonstrate that Muhammad made it up. And I can objectively demonstrate that it is factually incorrect. And to believe that it is from God is just an exercise in just being obtuse. Let's just put it that way. As to those who disbelieve in Muhammad as being a prophet and disbelieve that the Quran is from God, I will punish them with a severe torment in this world and in the hereafter, and they will have no helper. So even here, if you're using this criteria of what hate speech is, here you have your distinguishing between a group of people, and you're saying that I am going to punish you because you don't believe in this false prophet over here. Or Muslims don't believe, of course, that Muhammad is a false prophet, but we can demonstrate that he, objectively demonstrate, I might add, that he was. And to point that out makes me to be some type of hate preacher. And this is what has this whole world upside down. And we were talking about, not this particular point, that this morning in church, because it dealt with June being Pride Month and how our country, and my heart cries for this country, because when we start celebrating something that God clearly condemns as being sinful, a certain behavior that is clearly sinful, or a denial of what gender you are, which you were created as a boy, or you were created as a girl, and the denial of that is sinning against God. It's described in the Bible as being sinful behavior, and to take pride in that type of behavior is just unconscionable. And then to deny or to try to say that the Quran is true, when we can clearly demonstrate that it's not, is also, let's see, XYZ says there's no, let's see, oh really, Eric, you can prove Muhammad wrote the Quran? No, and you can't either, because Muhammad didn't write the Quran. You have challenged Majid's debate? I doubt that. Shall we set up a night? Not with you, my friend. Sorry. Ain't happening. Debate somebody else. Let's see here. Let's go to the next one. Chapter 5. Somebody said earlier, chapter 5 is rich. Oh, it is. Okay. Say, O people of the scriptures, Jews and Christians, do you criticize us for no other reason than that we believe in Allah and the revelation which has been sent down to us, and that we have been sent down before us, and that most of you are rebellious and disobedient to Allah. So it's essentially saying here that Christians, because they do not, Jews and Christians, because they do not believe that Muhammad was a prophet, we're rebellious and disobedient to God. Okay, well, and you know, I think actually, to tell you the truth, that's kind of a fair, if you're looking at just from a strictly a theological perspective, that would be a fair assessment. You really disbelieve in Muhammad being a prophet? You really disbelieve that what he's saying is not from God? You don't believe that? Okay, well, we're going to send you to hell. Okay, well, there you go. Chapter 5, verses 59 to 60. Say, O Muhammad, shall I inform you of something worse than that regarding the recompense of Allah, those Jews who incurred the curse of Allah in his wrath, those of whom he transformed into monkeys and swines, those who worshipped false deities, such are worse in rank on the day of resurrection in the hellfire, and far more astray from the right path in this world. Okay, so here you have God changing Jews.
His own beloved people.
Yes. Yes.
Swines and apes, you know. I mean, that right there shows you that the so-called deity of Islam is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible loves Israel with an everlasting love. And for Islam to come across and say all these horrible things about the children of Israel and the Jews and us Christians is just, it's just so demonic. We can see it, and Kenny should be able to see it.
And
if you were ever a Christian, Kenny, if you were a Christian, Kenny, why would you be turning around now and attacking Christians? The God loves you. He loves Israel.
I want to, this is something we talked about before the show, Connie, and let me do this right now. Okay. If you have not already, hit the like button and hit the subscribe button. People keep telling me you need to promote the show or the channel more. And, you know, in ways I feel like that's kind of, how would I say it? I'm taking pride in, I think it's kind of a selfish thing to do. And, you know, the thing is that this, I wanted to make sure everybody understands. And I tell these guys that are on the panel that come here every week, I said, you know, this is not really my show. It is my show because I started it. Okay. To that extent. But it's everybody's show that's here on the panel, and everybody that comes here in the chat. You're all welcome to come into the panel anytime that you want to. So if you want to promote this show, if you want to get the word out on what we do here, please go ahead and hit subscribe and hit the like button. Thank you for bringing that up, Bruce. I appreciate that. I'm very bad about, oops, I didn't mean to do that. Sorry about that. Oh, simple dawah. No, they're the killer male among the little ones. Hold on. Let's put this up here. Let's address this. This is really good. Now, therefore, kill every male among the little ones and kill every woman who has, and by sleeping with them, but all the young girls who have not known a man. A couple of things that I would say about this. Number one, this is in the Torah, which your prophet says that is from God. I hate it when that happens. Number two, this is a descriptive verse that describes what the Israelites were commanded to do against, I believe it was the Moabites, because the Moabites were the ones that were doing the same thing to the Jews. And number three, I don't see any Jews running around today killing male children and little ones and virgins. I don't see that happening. Just saying. Anybody else add to that?
He, Simple Dawa, posted Numbers 31, verse 15. It says that this is done because what happened from Moab or Edom, again, they make like a thing. They make the men of Israel in chapter 25, Numbers 25, to fall in sin. Then, and in 25, men of Israel were punished. Then Yahweh or the real God punished Israel in Numbers 25 and punished Moab in Numbers 31. It is just punishment, and it's again it's certain tribe. One, it's one more. It's not continuous. like Quran. Quran is against all Jews and Christians. Not Jewish and Christians, the days of Muhammad, not children.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we can clearly see that Islam is trying to capitalize on God punishing Israel to making it now Islam is trying to punish the whole world.
Yeah.
You know, anybody with a right heart and a right mind can see the demonic of Islam.
One of the clear indications was from last Tuesday, and that's why I think that this associate of the Imams, Charles Doyle, got so upset, is because I pointed out that Hezbollah, the group that the Imam said that he supports what they do, firing rockets into Israel, he said that he supports that. When you support terrorism, and like Hamas and what they're doing, then that I don't know what else, you know, how where that conversation, and here's where you just makes it impossible for Jews. Number one, the Jews are not going anywhere. You can fire all the rockets you want into Israel; they're not leaving. And the people that are in Gaza, when they were given autonomy, when they were given their autonomy in 2000, number one, the Egyptians didn't want to have anything to do with them because the Egyptians ruled that region from 1948 all the way up to 1967. They didn't want to have anything to do with the people that were in Gaza either. And the same thing with the people in the West Bank. Jordan didn't want to have anything to do with them or declare them a separate country from 1948 to 1967. It's only when the Jews took that land because they launched attacks from it, where this whole thing with the Palestinians came into existence. Well, when you start saying that it's okay because they have a grievance with Israel now, that it's okay to start killing these Jews indiscriminately, then that's very problematic, especially if you look at a calendar, because it's 2021. And if you haven't realized that that's not what the rest of the civilized world does, and if you are painted into a corner and you're forced to defend yourself and you are criticized for defending yourself, that's very problematic. That's very problematic for Israel. What the Palestinians should do and the rest of the Arab world, and this is what has started the Abraham Accords, is the rest of the world is starting to recognize is that the Palestinians do not want peace with Israel. They want Israel wiped off the map. That's what Hamas wants. And by supporting what Hamas did, you're supporting that goal. You are supporting the goal of wiping all the Jews on Israel off of the map. And that's terrorism. That is terrorism. I never said the word Hamas, liar. Okay, well, who's firing the rockets, Kenny? Who's firing the rockets? Is it those little school children that you were saying that were getting blown up? Was it those people that work in the hospitals? Was it the Palestinian civilians? No. Hamas is the – oh, I'm sorry. Islamic Jihad is also firing rockets. I misspoke, evidently. Let's go ahead and look at the other verses. I want to start looking at some of the sunnah, some of the things that Muhammad said in his life. If you go to Sahih Bukhari 52, number 177, here's what it says. Allah's apostle said, now, let me just say this about the hadith before we get too far into it. The hadith were written down, finally compiled by Bukhari, who lived, I think it's over 1,000 miles from Mecca. We know that these things are authentic, but let's just pretend. They were written down 230 years after the death of Muhammad, if Muhammad did in fact die in 632. And the other fact is that this is all hearsay. So-and-so said that so-and-so said that so-and-so said that so-and-so said. It's all an oral tradition. And so Bukhari would not know for sure if these are authentic or not. But with that said, and also the earliest extant hadith that we have is 400 years after Muhammad died. So they're written down 230 years after he dies, tradition tells us, and then the earliest extant manuscript we have is 400 years. Okay, so Bukhari 52:177. Allah's apostle said, "The hour will not be established until you fight with the Jews, and the stone behind which a Jew will be hiding will say, 'O Muslim, there's Jew behind me, so kill him.'" So here you have a miraculous event happening here. This is how much Muhammad loved the Jews, or I'm sorry, hated the Jews, is that he said that there's going to be a time where the Muslims will rise up and fight the Jews, kind of like Hamas and Islamic Jihad, firing rockets at the Jews in Israel indiscriminately, which is terrorism, but they won't be able to hide behind a rock because the rocket's going to say, "Hey, Muhammad, come over here. Here's the Jew behind me. Come kill him."
Kill him.
That's okay. Is that would we consider that hate speech? Do we need to go back and look at the requirements for hate speech? What you want to do that again? It's drawing a distinction between one's own identity group and those outside of it, the advocating of different standards, a call to violence against members of other groups. That sounds to me like this hadith sounds a lot like hate speech. Would this make Muhammad a hate preacher? Anybody else? Would this type of speech, because this isn't, you know, because with the Quran, you know, with the Quran, you can look at and say the Quran, well, the Quran is from God, and this is what Gabriel revealed to Muhammad. So they have an out there, you know, there's some wiggle room here. But let's see, what does Trinity say? That verse is forbidden to quote in social media. What do you mean by that, Danny? Or no. Who said that? Trinity said, I'm sorry. Doggone it. Sorry, here we go. That valid verse is forbidden to quote in social medias. How is that forbidden to quote that? How is that concerned?
It's not.
I mean, if I posted that on my my YouTube channel, would I get banned for that? Trinity, can you tell me that? Danny, is that what you're saying, that I would get banned
if you do it, you post it without reference, yeah, you will get banned.
Okay, so if I was to say, that Muhammad said and not cite Sahih Bukhari, that would be considered hate speech and I could get banned for that?
If you didn't put the Sahih Bukhari number XYZ, you will get banned immediately. Was it hate speech?
Wow. I did not know that. Wow. That's kind of scary. I wonder if, you know...
Even you say, even, I saw myself, because I'm adding in many groups, I saw myself, someone writing... get banned because he said Muhammad said women have deficiency in mind. He got banned because he didn't quote the hadith number.
Really? So just by quote. So if you quote the sunnah. So if you just quote. Hold on. Let me make sure I got this right. So just by quoting what Muhammad said, but not giving attribution as it being sunnah. That's considered hate speech, according to Facebook?
True, yeah.
But if you quote it saying that Muhammad said this, then that's okay. Everything's on the up and up. What Muhammad is doing is inciting murder. He's being an accomplice to murder. And he's called the thief, the murderer. You know, he's the murderer from the beginning. The devil is the murderer from the beginning.
Wow. So, okay, that is news to me. That's actually kind of scary, because if you quote, okay, hold on, let's pick another one. Let's see. The prophet was asked. Okay, this is Bukhari, book 52, number 256 again. The prophet was asked whether it was permissible to attack the pagan warriors at night with the probability of exposing their women and children to danger. The prophet replied, they, i.e. women and children, are from them, the pagans. In this command, okay, so in this command, Muhammad has established that it's permissible to kill non-combatants in the process of killing an enemy. This provides justification for many Islamic terror bombings. So they are from them. So if I was to post this, if I was to post this on Facebook or another social media platform, I could get banned for that because I would be advocating the killing of innocent women and children, even though Muhammad advocates killing innocent women and children.
Right.
So it's hate speech. It's hate speech. Point out hate speech. Boy, what a wonderful world we live in. Let's find another one. Here we go, 52, 220. Allah's apostle said, I have been made victorious with terror. Wow, that's amazing.
Isn't that great, Kenny?
Wow, see that, Kenny? I've seen, here's another one. Maybe we should have another 40 Great Hadith show. Allah's Apostle said, Bukhari, number 8, number 387, I have been ordered to fight the people till they say, none has the right to be worshipped Allah. And if they say so, pray like our prayers, face our Qibla, and slaughter as we slaughter, then their blood and property will be sacred to us, and we will not interfere with them except legally. So,
it has nothing to do with the God of the Bible.
Okay.
Murder. Islam loves murder, and that's what it is. And Kenny, that's what you're sitting in, is murder. And that's why you're wanting to attack people, Kenny.
Sahih
and
Muslim.
You're wanting to defend little girls and everybody else.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Here's one that's very similar to it. Sahih Muslim, book 1, number 30. The Messenger of Allah said, I have been commanded to fight against people so long as they do not declare that there is no God but Allah. Now, what I'm trying to figure out here, because this is one of the objections that is often made on this, is where is the part, I've been commanded to fight against the people in a defensive way so long as they do not declare there is no God but Allah. I don't see the part where it says a defensive war.
Yeah, right. They try to make Islam look icy when it's not. We all know that it's a pit full of fangs and swords and bullets and death.
Oh, there was one thing. My wife and I, we went to New York City a number of years ago, and we walked by the UN. He's threatening me. Nim Grace, what is he saying? Loves murder, Islamophobic statement. Well, I'm not saying, okay, here, hold on. What is this? Let's see. Islam loves murder. Islamophobic statement. I'm not saying Islam loves murder. I'm just citing what your prophet said.
Well,
if it makes it look like it.
To say Islam loves murder, I'll be the first one to say that. It still kills and destroys, and that's what it is, and that's what you said.
That's what you said. Okay, I'm sorry.
I would gladly say that Islam loves murder. Look what it says. Murder them. Here's the rock. Oh, here's a Jew going to be hiding behind a rock. Kill him. Rock's going to say, kill him. Go for it. That is loving murder, and that is Islam.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, Connie said, okay. He is coming to see. Yeah. Yes, Nim. Hold on. Let me put this up there. Yeah. I showed the email. He said that. That sounds like a threat to me. I don't know. There was a couple other things.
I said it, Kenny. I'll say it again. Islam loves murder. You can read it all over Islam. It's all there. It's all there. No wonder the Crown Prince wants to separate himself from a lot of these hadiths.
Yeah, I saw that. But the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia is like, look, this is out of control.
Yeah, that's right. I support him 100%.
Yeah.
You know, 100%.
I wanted to tell Hoffs, why Hoffs, this is far phobia. Look, I don't know if you were here at the beginning of the show, because I know you were doing your own live stream. We talked about one of the mistakes that I had made and what we had discussed as far as showing your face. You know, why are Christians afraid to show their face when they're debating Muslims? They ought to come out and show their face and say who they are and say what their name is and, you know, where they are. Why are they afraid of this? Well, I guess you could say that here's the classic example of that. This is exactly what they do. When you show your face and you say who you are and you say where you are from, this is where we're coming. Get you. We're going to come and get you fired from your job because you are a hate preacher. And this hate preacher is what? And I am citing direct quotes from what the Quran says. I'm citing direct quotes of what Muhammad said. But by doing this, I am the one, evidently, that is Islamophobic. I am the one that is evidently a hate preacher. I'm not exactly sure which parallel universe that you're living in to make that claim. However, if it makes sense to you, then
Actually, Islam is the phobia. It fears everybody. Islam. The doctrine, the spirit behind that doctrine is a spirit of fear. It's death and destruction. You know, and none of the apostles or the prophets ever said, if you don't claim my God and me is a prophet, you know, we're gonna fight you and kill you. None of them. You read in Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. None of them said this. But here comes Islam, 600 years later, and says, you know, wipe them all out. Yeah. They don't agree and they don't lift up Muhammad. Wipe them out.
Right.
That's Islam. That's the Islam that this whole world is seeing finally. And we're saying, you know, it is evil. It needs to be confronted. It needs to be spoken of. And it needs to be put down. It is evil for every generation, children or adults.
Now, here's something that I was listening. We all know our brother Adam Seeker, and I would say also Adam Seeker, he doesn't show his face either, and he doesn't tell people where he's from, for a very specific reason. And here's what he would. Exactly. Okay. Thank you. This is the point that I was making, because I think he made this live stream yesterday, John. I'm not sure if I'm right on this. It might have been the day before. But anyway, he was having a debate or a discussion with Yahya somebody. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? Yahya somebody. But during this discussion, okay.
He's spoken with Hatun before, too.
Right, yeah, okay. Is he in England?
And the Muslims, yes. And the Muslims don't like him. The Muslims do not like him. They're rude to him.
Why?
Because he'll debate with the Christians, and one Muslim told him, it's on tape. One Muslim told him, well, why you keep on talking with them? We told you not to. So they're really showing themselves, yeah.
Okay. Well, this is what...
He's probably going to get saved here pretty soon.
Well, let's pray to God that he does. Here's what Adam kept throwing up in front of him. This is from Sunnah.com. Let me make this bigger so you folks can see exactly what we're talking about. This is Hadith, and you have Ibn Abbas. Well, this is actually – Ibn Abbas was Tasfir. This is from Tasfir. Whoever changes his religion, kill him. 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 So he kept saying, okay, so since I'm an apostate, what are you supposed to do to me? And the guy was he kept trying to saying, well, you have to give the person a 3-day period to come back to Islam after you apostatize from it, and then you have to have, you know, so much counsel. I can't remember exactly all the criteria that this guy had listed. But the bottom line, what was the bottom line, though? What was – right. Well, yeah, exactly. It differs from country to country. it differs from country to country, but he's making the point in the end, what is the criteria if you apostatize from Islam? What do these compilers of the Hadith say? What did the Prophet say? What did Muhammad say? Right.
So the law says he is to be executed immediately.
Well, according to Yahya, they were supposed to be given 3 days, which, you know, immediately 3 days, you know,
that could be their laws, that they don't want to go strict Sharia, they don't want to go strict Hadith or strict Quran, you know, so they try to lighten it, you know, but the final end, if they're saying, I'm out, you know, I don't want to be having to marry a little girl. I don't want to have to be told I can beat my wife. I don't want to be told, go ahead and kill people. You know, I want to live my life. I want people to live their lives. And if they don't recant, then they kill them. You know, and this is what we stand up against. And if this is hate speech, so let it be. But we know what it is. It is defending people's right to live.
Well, here's the bottom line. Is it hate speech? Okay. Is it hate speech to repeat what their own sources say?
It's called raising awareness.
Yeah, but I don't see how they could classify it as hate speech. Why would it be hate speech to? I appreciate your honesty.
To this day and time, everything's on the table. Anybody can say anything unless you're in Facebook and they want to just shut your mouth. But everybody's just saying everything under the sun, you know, thinking that if they shout the loudest, then that's going to be paramount. And that's not the case, because there is a God on this planet, and he's a good God, and he knows right from wrong, and so does the people that are looking toward him. You know, and the laws are on all of our hearts. We know good and the difference between good and evil. So their paramount is not winning. You know, they're just piling heaps of lies. And that's all what they're doing.
Go ahead, John.
And we see it.
I would like to add something here. We saw last few weeks that the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia are trying to get rid of Sharia. And because of maybe the apostasy law or a lot of things making problems in politics between Saudi Arabia and the Western world. But the problem is, for example, he said he will try to remove all hadith. Ahad hadith, which means hadith is the narration. There is a single one person say this chain of narration. Remove all of this style of hadith. The problem is apostasy law is a mutawatir hadith, or it's said by many people. Ibn Abbas and many other people say the same hadith, the same word, all of the Islam should be killed. What will he do? He will remove it. He should remove it to make Saudi Arabia like a modern country, because Sharia is making people go back to the 7th century. It's horrible. And it is hate speech, because we saw many cases in Saudi Arabia, people who left Islam secretly. They can't declare their faith. If they declare their faith, they will be killed. And it's hate speech and violence against others.
And this is why I brought that up. When you start talking about the apostasy laws, and you know, John, are you saying that the king of Saudi Arabia, the new king of Saudi Arabia, wants to get rid of the apostasy law, or
yeah? Okay. The Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, he made an interview in the TV, in the official TV in Saudi Arabia. He said that he would like to change all this type of laws based on hadith. But apostasy, he mentioned in the speech, like apostasy law and some other stuff, like equality between men and women. But the apostasy law based on mutawatir hadith, he can't cancel. Otherwise, he is opposing Islam itself.
Okay, so
well, see, he's Eric, he said that, like, apostasy. Apostasy law is in the Quran, so he'll go with the Quran. But anything that's, that the Hadith says that's not in the Quran, he wants to reject and remove. So that remains apostasy to be still on the table because it's in 489. And you have Ibn Abbas and Jalalain confirming that you slay them if they leave Islam.
Okay, but Ibn Abbas, okay, isn't Ibn Abbas a tafsir?
He's a tafsir. See, he's wanting to say anything of the Hadith that do not agree with the Quran, we reject because it's causing all these terrorisms everywhere on the planet. And that's, he's right, and that's where I stand with him 100%. But the thing is he's finally going to have to then deal with the Quran because they're still killing their own people.
Sure.
And this is where we stand. And they're still marrying their little girls. And this is where we stand against this stuff because this is the evil being done against little girls, being done against their own apostates. But, you know, he's doing a good first step.
Yeah, Danny has a good comment here in chat. He said, because the Quran says obey the messenger, and you can't do that without the Hadith. And that's
you
just...
have to deal with that, too. But little by little, you know, I mean, just getting rid of a lot of those Hadiths, because he's trying to get all these people to stop blowing themselves up, stop killing people with your bombs. And
so he's trying to stop the hate is what he's trying to do.
Yes, he really is. Right. You know, he's got sons, and he probably wants to see his grandsons grown up to have a regular life.
Well, if he wants to see that, then he needs to, based on what we've seen, what happens to other people who actually try to reform this, maybe he's the one that needs to shut his mouth. Yeah. Well, that's the point I was just making. No, that's exactly what I was. That's the point that I was just making, Brad. You're absolutely spot on with that. If he keeps saying this is going to result in him getting. You're right, and you never want to see that with anybody. But here's what I was looking at: the apostasy. What the current apostasy laws say according to the Sharia, which we find here in Reliance of the Traveler. It says, leaving Islam is the ugliest form of unbelief. When a person who has reached puberty and is sane voluntarily apostatized from Islam, he deserves to be killed. It says it right here, and this is page 595. In such a case, it is obligatory for the caliph to ask him to repent and return to Islam. So I think this is where they were coming up with that 3-day rule. So he's asked to repent and return to Islam, and they give him 3 days to do it. And I think this is what Adam was talking about on his show. He says, okay, after the end of those 3 days, then what happens to him? And it says right here, if he does, it is accepted from him, but if he refuses, he is immediately killed. So if he refuses after that period, given a time to repent and to return to Islam. If he doesn't, then you're immediately killed. Then it says in part 3 here, it says if he is a free man, no one besides the caliph or representative may kill him. But if you go to part 4, it says there's no indemnity for killing an apostate, meaning there is no punishment if somebody was to come after Adam. Let's say somebody that is a follower of Muhammad, another Muslim, and he finds Adam, knowing that Adam is an apostate and Adam will not return to Islam, there is no punishment for the person who would kill Adam, or you, John, for that matter. Am I wrong on that? Am I reinterpreting this correctly?
That is Sharia. That's it, exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Is it hateful to say that? Is that hate speech? I'm not sure.
No, that's called raising awareness to this murderous ideology.
Well, here's the thing. Well, here's the thing with this, for instance, Saudi Arabia. God bless him for trying to do it, okay? But if he does, or he is successful in doing what he is trying to achieve, okay to, you know, whatever. Insert whatever false doctrine, false belief into Christianity. And don't get me wrong, they do it. But we're not going to kill them overdoing it. Do you see what I'm saying? It's going to have to be something other than Islam. They're going to have to call it something else. If you remove those hadith, you pretty much remove Muhammad. You pretty much remove the historical fact that we know of, okay, or the historical context of Islam and what made Islam. And if you do that, then you got something else other than Islam. You know what I mean? So,
you just can't take a huge step because, I mean, he's probably going to see civil war anyway.
Right. No, seriously, it's going to end very bloody. Actually, I would say what he's doing, and I understand what he's trying to do, it's going to be worse. It's going to be worse Muslim killing Muslims. He's going to create even more fanatics. You know what I mean? How dare you? How dare you say Islam is violent? We're going to kill you to prove Islam is not violent. You know what I mean?
Exactly right. Yeah, I hope you hear that, Kenny. You know, it's not the majority of the Muslims that are carrying this out. It's the Islamists. For the most part, the Muslims are the innocent victims that have been stuck in there since their new birth, since they're newborn, being newborns. So it's not the Muslims that are the problems. It's the ones that are following out and carrying out the Islamic edict to go ahead and kill the infidels, which they stole from the Christian Bible. And you don't see Christians going and killing our infidels. So right there, you can tell that Islam is demonic. It's not the people. People are demons. It is the ideology that is the problem here on this whole planet. And, you know, the crown prince needs to start somewhere, so he's starting somewhere. And we do need to back him up, you know, because there is going to be a fight. So we need to stand with him. And it may take 200, 300 years should Jesus tarry. But if not, you know, hopefully he wins this day and us stand beside him.
Well, what I see happening here is this is going to start some type of civil war within. I mean, if you are, you know, asking people to give up, you know, part of what they hold true and believe to be most sacred to them, that's not going to end. That can't end pretty. Something's going to happen with that. And that would be like asking the Christians to ignore 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You know, don't read those. You know, that's not going to be part of the New Testament anymore. So I think that's not going to end. That's not going to end well. Pray that they somehow work it out.
I mean, because if not, you just still get these fly-by-night people blowing themselves up, going in churches and murdering people, you know, and he's finally going, I need to deal with this. Yes, it's probably going to be a big fight, but if we don't fight this on the battleground right now, then, you know, more innocent people are going to be killed, and our own so-called Muslims are going to still be out there following the harshness of Islam. Mm-hmm. And what is that? I mean, finally, you have to deal with it, and that's what he's trying to do.
Yeah, one of the go ahead, Rad. Go ahead.
Well, here's another take on this. Okay, so you remove all this, okay, from Islam. Let's put this into perspective. Maybe the Muslims are finally tired of Muslims killing Muslims. Because the vast majority of the victims of Islamic terrorism are Muslim, period. They kill more of their own than they kill us. And they kill more of their own than we've killed of them, okay? For instance,
He was waving at you with his middle finger. I saw him right behind you, Rad. You're not watching in your rear view. There's a huge movement within, an underground movement within Saudi Arabia and Iran itself of Christianity, people converting to Christianity and people apostatizing not only to Christianity, but also the first one, Christianity is kind of the minority of the where people apostatize to, because the majority of the people are apostatizing to atheism because they're just looking at this and they're just saying, oh, are you got to be kidding me? Who in the world would say something, hold on, let me bring it up here. Who in the world would say something and fight against those who disbelieve, this is Sahih Muslim, in Allah, make a holy war when you meet your enemies who are polytheist, talking about Christians, invite them to three courses of action. If they respond to any one of these, you also accept it and withhold yourself from doing any harm. Invite them to accept Islam, number one. If they respond to you, accept it from them and desist from fighting. If they refuse to accept Islam, demand them from the jizya. That's 929 stuff, and that's why I left that up there on the screen. And then it says, if they agree to pay, accept it from and hold off your hands. If they refuse to pay the tax, seek Allah's help and fight them. So hadith, just like that, they're probably fighting against that or wanting to fight against that, and you can't blame them. Because everything is fight, fight, fight. And when you see – and here's – when you start looking at the majority, like you said, Rad, the majority of the violence that are being committed in the name of Islam, in name of Allah, is against other Muslims. I would think it would be hateful or wouldn't be hateful to try to stop that. I would think it would be a good thing to try to stop that.
Yes, it's called loving your neighbor as you love yourself.
You know, oh, thank you for bringing that up. That was one of the things, and I appreciate you. What I was going to say is that I wanted to bring up on Tuesday night that I forgot to, is that one of the things that they had to, that they tried to do is they tried to say that, hey, Rad, I'm going to mute you just for a minute, everybody, because I'm getting too much wind from you.
Let's add something here. Why ISIS, for example, killing each Muslim. Why? Because in Quran, in Quran 9, verse 73, it says that you should make like a struggle or a jihad against hypocrites. Hypocrites is like is a Muslim, but he has false faith. He has not true faith.
Then yeah, I he's just not fighting with them. He's a hypocrite. He's not fighting with them.
Muhammad did so. Muhammad did so according to Tafsir. Then ISIS looks to this verse in Surah 9, verse 73, and the hadith that Muhammad said that there are 73 sects of Islam. One of them is the good one and the others are bad. They consider all other Muslims are hypocrites, then they should do jihad against them. They don't. Then according to their opinion or the given in hadith and Quran, they are doing the good thing. They are doing what Muhammad teach them. They are not doing a bad thing, killing other Muslims. They are not Muslims. They are hypocrites, according to ISIS.
Yeah.
Wait. Say that again. Since they are not, they're hypocrites if they don't go out. Right. If they're not waging jihad, they're hypocrites.
Yes, because they're just wanting to live their lives. They're not wanting to go into the holy war for the cause of Allah. See?
Wow, that is...
Geez, it's so murderous, and this is why we stand against it, so that people will live. We are standing in the gap for their lives, whether they're Muslim or Buddhist or Hindus or Confucius or whatever. This is called laying down your lives for your friends. It's called loving your neighbor as yourself.
And this is okay. Thanks for bringing me back to that point, Connie. Thank you. Thank you, John. The point that I was going to make that was on consider this TV show that 40 Hadith one is that Charles tried to make the statement that Islam has the same type of golden rule that Christianity has. And he tried to cite the Lord's Prayer. And when he did that, it was just kind of, I'd never heard anybody try. But if you listen, and the part that he wanted to say is, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And that, you know, when we start looking at the Lord's Prayer, of course, the Lord's Prayer being the model prayer that Jesus taught us to pray and how to pray. And this is why it's always a joke when you say, well, why, Christians, don't you pray like Jesus taught us to pray? Well, the joke is that the prayer starts off with Our Father. That, to me, they just don't seem to get the irony of that. But to say that Islam has that same same golden rule to treat others as you would have them treat you, I don't think I've ever seen a verse from the Quran or in the Hadith that says that. Am I wrong on that? Can anybody point to something that I might be missing on that? And then there was silence in the world of the Cross and the Crescent discussion group. Okay, so I guess there isn't. All right. Okay. There's nothing there. Okay. Let me see here. As we finish up the show, we got about 14 minutes left in this. And, you know, we were going to point out a couple of things that would – and I'm really hesitant to do this. I've really, you know, and the, at the, I know. And okay. Well, well, the reason why I'm hesitant to do this is because I didn't want to do this last fall. We were asked not to do this last fall. And here's the thing. These allegations are brought to the school board, and it looks like that this is going to happen. This is the video that I want to point to. And I just want to make sure that the school board knows who they're dealing with here, who is bringing these allegations. And I think the imam in chat did a good job of demonstrating who he was, who you know, what he, what, you know, the way he views other people who don't agree with him. I think he did a good job of that, so I don't really need to get down with that. But the other person who just before the show was even over on Tuesday, or actually, I'm sorry, before the show had just started, the show started at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, and I got an email from Marshall Gregory at 5:03 or 5:06 p.m., 6 minutes into the show. And what did that email say? I'm gonna bring it up here. I want to make sure that I don't misquote the Cowardly Lion of Dawa here. That's my name for him. I shouldn't say that because he calls himself the Lion of Dawa, or he says that other people refer to him as the Lion of Dawa. Just haven't seen who the people are. He said my Gmail's slow for some reason. But he said, let's see here. He said, here's what he said. Here's what he said. Come on. Where did it go? We got, no, that's not what it was. We got a call back from Laurel Day, which is the administrative assistant for Bush. Maybe this one here. No, that's not it. But no earlier. Okay. No earlier. Okay, this is at 5. No, this is 5:03, 3 minutes after the show started on Tuesday. Best bet it's back on with the Cedar Rapids Education School Board. I doubt you have a job with them starting next school year. I hope Global Patriot Radio pays well. There's no punctuation marks in that. I don't know why that bothers me. Maybe just become a teacher or something, but the poor guy can't write. But when you
look. No, it should. It's attacking you personally. You know, we're not going there and trying to get people's jobs gone and things like that. I mean, that's really showing the spirit of Islam. You know, it comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
They're proving Islam. They're proving Islam.
Well, this is who this guy is. I'm going to put it up here on the screen. This is who this guy is right here. This is just a small portion of what he's been involved in during his life. And I know we all make mistakes in our life. And the question is that, you know, do we learn from those mistakes? You know, can we learn from those? Can we make the changes in our life? And, you know, when we look at what he's doing now and what he's threatening to do now, it doesn't appear to me that he's learned from what it means to threaten people and to, you know, because I got called, true story. It had to be 3 years ago. Do you remember this, Rad? 3 years ago, I got called into the local FBI office. Because of this guy, they wanted to ask me questions, and I didn't. And you know, I shouldn't say this, but the Queen, they called my wife's phone number and said, "This is the local FBI office. We'd like to talk to your husband about X, Y." And she comes in. I knew this was gonna. I knew you should be. But anyway, I got called into the FBI office because of this guy. Now. When you think about – just think about that for a second. Who gets called into the FBI because of somebody that you just have had contact with? So you know what they're – well, I don't know about you, Rad. I would think that maybe the local sheriff department.
No, I'm serious. I'm pretty nefarious, and nobody I know has been called into the FBI. It was an FBI office over me. But no, it's not just Marshall now. It's this other dude, Charles, right? You know what I mean?
Right.
They're sucking other people into this. This dude, Charles, a brief search, okay, just using open source intelligence gathering techniques. In other words, I used Google and put in his name in Google, okay, along with that he lived in Georgia. It popped up it appears to be confidence is high, has not been verified yet, although I've handed over to my team. Okay, to verify this stuff, but I'm very confident in this. This dude is a disgraced police officer. He got fired from the police force in Georgia for unlawful use of excessive force or whatever the charge. If you want to pull that up, Eric, please go ahead.
Let me see.
Not only that, but no, he verified it. I asked him, I said, is this you? And he verified it. Another screenshot from the conversation. He's like, I'm going to who gave you this information. How dare they bring this up after 12 years or something like that? They're going to lose their pensions over this. Or no, several people are going to lose their pensions over this. Something like that.
Right. I have his reply to you. And if you look at, let me see if I can make that bigger. I don't know if I can make that bigger, but if you look at what's here, it says Doyle Charles C, and then it looks at the police department, and then it says that it was, you can't read it. I can barely read it, but I've seen the X.
He basically verified the information for me. Now, here's the thing. Okay, fine, whatever. He was a cop. He beat somebody up. I don't know. But the town that he was a police officer in is 31% black, so or African American. So we got a 31% chance that he beat up some black dude. Okay. Which again, I'm going to be in contact on Monday. I'm going to try and contact some local BML organizers, or affiliates or various groups of BML to see if they have any information with this. But no, this dude, now think about this. Let's say on his end, let's say he didn't do what they are accusing him of doing. He still lost his job, right? And here he is coming after you, okay, to attack you so you lose your job, Eric. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay, this man has no shame. I don't feel sorry for this man at all. Okay? But look at what he's doing it over. Here's what we have. Okay? We've got Marshall, a total admitted meth head, who has a criminal record going back to when he was a juvenile. Pull that screen up, what we found out about that. Okay? So you got a meth head who went to prison because he was a meth head. Okay? All right, and the juvenile record, petty crimes, petty felonies, going back to 1986. Okay, you've got Kenny Bomer, okay, the Imam Kenny Bomer, okay. Look, marital stuff happens. I get it, whatever. But either way, he was convicted of spousal abuse and domestic abuse. Okay, but here's the shocking part with this. He spent I think a year in jail or close to a year in jail. Okay, we have to point that out because remember, we can't say prison because, that's what a bloke is on. It was a year, close to a year.
I think it was a year and one day. In one day, I think it was the total. But anyway, it was time in jail. Extensive time.
Whatever it was, he was locked up for, at least close to a year, maybe over a year. I don't know. But either way, he was in jail. He was finally released on bail, and he had to wear an ankle monitor. And he broke his order of protection, okay, multiple times. Not only did he do that, but he lied. He lied to his probation officer, and he lied to the judge and to the court. So much so that they had him take a polygraph test. Now, think about the narcissism of an individual who is lying to the court. And says, instead of admitting that this is wrong, forces the issue to take a polygraph test, right? And, of course, he failed it, right? Miserably, okay? And he was finally forced to admit that he was lying to his probation officer and to the judge, okay? So you got these two knuckles. Now throw in, possibly, confidence aside, a disgraced police officer that was fired for excessive or unlawful use of force. These three individuals, these three knuckleheads, okay, are coming after you, Eric, right? To get you fired from your job. Why? Because you hurt Kenny's feelings. You hurt Marshall's feelings. You disagreed with them. You made them look bad. You know what I mean? And I got to tell you, to Dr. Bush, obviously we're going to give all the information of her like we already did, okay?
Well, they already have a lot of it. They already have a lot of it. Go ahead.
Exactly. But we can give more with this new guy coming soon. You know what I mean? But seriously,
When I deployed to Iraq, I was with the 101st. Who?
All right. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Or a meth head, a convicted meth head, an ex-con, a wife beater. I'm sorry, a practitioner of Islam on his wife, and a disgraced cop who was a Marine for 4 or 5 years and made it up to he made it up to the same level that Adolf Hitler made it to in the military. You know what I mean? Okay. I mean, I'm sorry, dude. Seriously, this dude Charles, listen to me. I'm talking to you now. Your buddies on the internet, Kenny and Marshall, you don't want to hang out with them. You don't want to associate with them. You would be better off associating with Eric here, who is a retired war vet, multiple deployments. You know what I'm saying? Okay, multiple years of service. Okay, muster out, right, at a good high rank, okay? You know what I mean? You got a PhD or something, not a PhD, but you got an advanced degree, right? I mean,
it's a DMIV, right?
I'm sorry, what?
It's the equivalent of a DMIV, Doctorate of Divinity, but yeah.
All right. Either way, so that means you had to have a master's degree and a bachelor's degree, right? Before you got that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny took 2 classes at some school, Bichukan, okay, School of Islamic Thought, that is just the P.O. box. You know what I mean? And he is an Islamic scholar now and a mom. I mean, seriously, Charles, I'm talking to you because you're probably a good guy, okay? You don't want to associate with these people. I'm just saying, dude, okay? They're not beneficial for you, okay? I mean, seriously, they are basically the people that you arrested, the people that you put in prison. The people that you beat up, you know what I mean? These are these people, okay? And oh, and by the way, Kenny, because I know you're listening, I know your wife's house didn't burn down on January 1st. I know it's a scam, okay? I've contacted the local newspaper. I've contacted the local librarian. I've contacted the local waitress at the local, the diner, okay, in Dixon, Texas. Either way, I've contacted the fire marshal. I've contacted the chief of police. I've contacted all of them. There was no fire in Dixon, Texas on January 1st. There was a fire on January 12th, day before you posted your GoFundMe page. Okay? That's probably where you got the idea. The only problem was that 5 people died in the fire and 2 people escaped. Those 2 people that escaped, guess what? They were not mother and son. They were 2 males. Okay? So, again, now I'm sure that's where you got your idea, but you are a scam artist. You're a terrorist supporting Hamas supporter. Okay? Well, rapper, we didn't even discuss his rap career. Remember that? His Islamic rap career where he's praising September 11th? Any of those videos? I'm sorry. Dude. Charles. I'm talking to you. I back to blue. Well, I was going to wear my back to blue shirt, okay? I have many of them. Been to many of back to blue counter-protests and counter-demonstrations. I am telling you, dude, you do not want to associate with these dudes. These are the dudes that you arrested, threw in jail, and beat up, okay? Bottom line, dude. But do not come after my friend. Do not come after him and try and get him fired because he disagreed with Kenny? Because he disagreed with the white beater, con artist, perjurer? Do not come after Eric Smith because he disagreed with the dude that's on the terrorist watch list? Do not come after him because he disagrees with a method, a convicted method, a convicted felon that served time in prison? Do you see what I'm saying, dude? And do to him what somebody may have done to you to get you and get him to lose his job. I am sorry, I have no respect for you if you do that. This ain't a game, dude. All because Eric made Kenny and Marshall feel bad, hurt his feelings. And Kenny, the truce is off after this. Seriously. Okay, I'm done with my
rant. Okay, the views expressed by the guests on this, I'm kidding. And here's what's scary is that that morning, I think it was Wednesday morning that was posted, that thing that I showed everybody at the beginning of the show. that Charles had posted on Facebook saying, you know, report, Eric Smith here, within 5 minutes, Rad sends me this he sends me this charge sheet that that Charles had been relieved of duty evident, and this is what he thinks. He had been relieved of duty for excessive force. So if you ever get on the bad side of Rad, hide. Well, this is what Kenny says. He says he's going to use the show as evidence for hate speech, Islamophobia, and let him. Nim wanted to know if Charles is a Muslim. Yes, he's a recent revert. I'm not sure how long he's been a Muslim, but he is a recent convert to. Okay, well, we have to end it because our time on Blog Talk Radio is up. And we
love Palestinian babies and everybody, too. You know, it's just that you have to stand up against the bullies that are trying to blow you up and kill you and stop you from having a job and things like that. That is just childish and showing so much of their cruelty of heart, you know. And this is what we stand against and say, you know, come to Christ, because that's a dead end ditch. It's going to land you in the pit.
And this has always been the focus of this show, is exposing the lies told by Muhammad, the lies that we find in the Quran, the lies that we find in the Hadith, and providing an apologetic for the Christian faith and the scripture. That's what the main focus of this show has always been. And again, I want to apologize to everybody that it really wasn't that focused today, but I took some advice from a good friend of mine who said that I need to do something and get this out there and get it out there quick before this gets too far down the road. And so we did. And I wanted to make sure.
Friend.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, John. I don't mean to call you out, but I do hope that that's the message that was that came across today. Nobody here hates Muslims. I mean, to say that is just it's just a desperate attempt to try to hide behind a false ideology, trying to project something on somebody else that is making an accurate description of what you do. And I understand why you would want to do it, because if I was somebody that believed the things that you did, knowing what I do know and about how false they are, you know, I would try to do something else also. So God bless everybody today. Thank you for coming. It's been a lively show, and I appreciate that. And we will see you all on Tuesday with Radio Free. I do need to say one thing. Radio Free Kafiristan on Tuesday is going to be short this week because we're doing Vacation Bible School at our church. Winning souls of the young for Christ. All right, we'll see you all next week. Thanks for coming. God bless you. We'll see you soon. Okay, over here on Blog Talk Radio and episode and...